Blog Talk Radio.
I've only just begun to find the things that count. Things that I've been living for, I can live without. To try to please this restless mind is just a waste of time. A warm embrace, a friendly smile, these are things worthwhile. I've only just begun to have the sight to see things around me as they are, instead of seeing me. Seems the more I go inside, the more I go beyond. The magic is in everyone, that's why we go on. We've only just begun. Just begun. I've only just begun to see it's up to me. I can blame nobody else for what I've come to be. Every day is a turning point. Which way will we go? Grab the moment, seize the day. Tomorrow, let it go. We've only just begun. Just begun. Just begun. Only just begun. I've only just begun to find the things that count, things that I've been living for, I can live without. Father Time will tell his tale. The human race is run. can live in harmony. Or we could be done. We've only just begun. Only just begun. Only just begun.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Earth 101. I'm your host, Leslie Draper, and the show is streaming live to you from Norman, Oklahoma. And tonight in studio with me, I have my two fabulous sidekicks, Courtney and Emily. Be sure and give them a shout out for all their hard work for the switchboard, the chat room, and the Facebook discussion group, because they are manning all for me tonight. So I am really glad that you are here. We have some really good stuff to talk about tonight, and I'm glad that you're choosing to begin the new work week and the weekend right here with us. So let's go ahead and start with this fabulous prayer I found in Marianne Williamson's book, Illuminata. So just focus on your breath. Breathe in God light. Exhale out love and peace. Breathe in God light. And exhale love. Dear God, be my Redeemer, my internal teacher, my divine physician. Thank you for your presence in my life. I surrender to you all I am, all I think, all I feel, and all I have. I recognize in this moment that yours is the power to heal and make whole. You who have the power to work miracles, you who rule time and space, please take me in your arms and hold me. Dear Lord, please lift me up and heal me. Cast out of my mind all thoughts that are not of you. Cast out of me all harsh and critical nature. Cast out of me all violence and all anger. Cast out of me all demons from my past, for I would be made new. I wish to walk so close to you that we might be as one. I ask for new life, new mind, new body, new spirit. Dear God, please come into me and release me from pain. Amen. Isn't that just amazingly beautiful? I think so. And yes, you know, we ask God's loving presence to be in every moment of not just this show, but our lives. We ask for that guidance. We ask for the wisdom, and we ask to be hand in hand with the great I am. All right, so let's go over our housekeeping thing. So I do hear that we're having some trouble getting people in the chat room this evening, so please keep trying. You know, Blog Talk Radio usually has trouble letting everybody in at the start of the hour, so if you wait, you know, about 10 minutes, you should be able to get in pretty easily. Your other option is to log in about 10 minutes before the show begins. If you are listening via the live streaming, that's fantastic. If you need to call to listen in, you can do so at 929-477-1582. Again, that guest call-in number is 929-477-1582. If something that we're talking about tonight creates a question for you or something you want further explained, you're welcome to press 1 on your phone, and you will be put in line to come on air if we have time to do questions tonight. You may also post that question in either the chat room or the Facebook discussion forum, because we have both Emily and Courtney in studio tonight, and they are manning both for me. So all I have to do is sit here and sip coffee and talk to you. So my job is easy tonight. Well, I don't know. Courtney has, she's going for a pin. I guess I could have given the poor girl a pin. Well, you know, I'm the hostess with the mostest, but I'm working. All right. So are you enjoying this full moon? How about it? Anybody have any powerful experiences with this full moon? Did you get any releasing done? I know I was going to try full moon release for those of you who are local at my house. We did not get our act together in time to do it this month, so maybe we can do it next month. Maybe we can get it done next month, okay? That way we can support each other through our releasing. But, you know, the full moon energy is fading out, but it's still in play enough that I think you could go ahead and right now just say, you know, dear God, universe, cosmic mind, help me release, fill in the blank. Okay? Help me release, fill in the blank. And I've lost my papers. Okay, sorry. All right, so last week what we focused on was what happens whenever you incarnate. Okay, what happens when you incarnate, and what happens from the perspective of, was that for a reading? Okay, we are not going to do readings tonight. There are questions relating to the class. This is a master class. It's not a reading show. Okay. All right, Courtney, I think you left yourself in the screening room. Oh, okay. Sorry. So last week what we did was we talked about what happens when you choose to incarnate, okay? And if you missed any part of last week, you can go back and listen because it's still available. Basically what happens is you have this meeting with spirit where you decide that you're going to individuate from, you know, source, from that great one energy. And at that point, you're going to transition to the physical plane. Okay. Does anyone have any questions from last week about this process that you want me to answer? You can always go back and listen to what we went over. I want to hit a few more things tonight on the discussion with God before you incarnate. Okay. All right. So let's go back to this moment before you incarnate. And I'm going to use, and I used Wayne Dyer as an example last week, and just because I love the man so much. I still love the man. I still think he's one of the greatest teachers we've ever had. I'm going to use him again. And so in one of his CD recordings, I think it's Secrets to Manifest Your Destiny, Wayne Dyer says that before he incarnated, in his present incarnation, he was walking along a beach with God. And God turned to Wayne and said, Wayne, you're about to go down to earth and have another spin at it. You know, what do you want to do? And with all sincerity, Wayne looked at God and said, I want to be a prophet. I want to teach people about you, God. I want to, you know, build that bridge between humans and God. And God paused for a moment, turned to Wayne and said, well, son, we better get your ass to an orphanage, because if you're going to do that in one lifetime, you're going to have to be learning from day one. And that's exactly it. Wayne Dyer was born and very quickly was orphaned and grew up in an orphanage, knowing that even the woman who gave birth to him, you know, did not want him. His father did not want him. And he talked extensively about this, and even his battle with alcoholism and finding his sobriety and finding his ability to be faithful to those he loved. And so it's the same. You had that same walk with God. Okay, before you came to this planet, you had that same walk with God. Maybe yours was along a beach. I have a lot of friends who want to be mermaids. Maybe that inspiration came from. Maybe your walk with God was in the mountains. I hope my walk with God was not in the desert, because I'm not a desert person. Or maybe that's why I'm not a desert person. But your walk with God happened. And in this moment, you and God discussed what it is you wanted to experience when you came to the earth plane. Okay, so let's go over some of these terms. I actually have this in a handout. What I can do is, if somebody will remind me, because I know I won't remember, I can upload these to my website as a downloadable file. And then you can just go and get them and download them, okay? All right. So let's start with your soul purpose, okay? Your soul purpose, and the word purpose is a little misleading. One, because it's not just one big thing, you know, you came here to experience. And sometimes we think that our soul purpose, our singular soul purpose, is this bigger than life thing that once we figure it out, you know, it's going to be rainbows and daisies for the entire rest of our lives. And that's not necessarily how this works. Okay. So soul purpose is this umbrella. And Many things that you are meant to do can come under that umbrella of soul purpose. Now, if you're not within the scope of your soul purpose, you're going to feel like something's missing, okay? I have a wonderful, wonderful friend named Sharon Sala. You know, many of you probably know her. You follow her on Facebook. She's a New York Times bestselling writer. This woman is magnificent in every possible way. Now, we could look at her and say her soul purpose, okay, is to be a writer. And we could look at that and we could say, okay, yes, purpose, writer, yes. But is her purpose really to be a writer, or is it to inspire through storytelling? So see, she didn't necessarily have to write books to be fulfilling that purpose. She could potentially be a storyteller, go to the libraries and tell oral verbal stories. She could do this in lots of different ways, but the purpose itself is to inspire through storytelling. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so your sole purpose is something. If you're a teacher, let's use this one for an example. If you, part of your sole purpose is to teach, this can mean you go teach kindergartners. It can. It can mean you go teach graduate level communications courses. It could mean that you teach wee ball to the 3- and 4-year-olds, which I'm going to tell you is the cutest thing you've ever seen. It's like herd mentality all the way through. I love it. So if your purpose is being a teacher, any of those things will fulfill your purpose. And you don't always have to be in the exact role of purpose for a job. You know, maybe your job is, you know, that you're a nurse. And your job is caring for people, but you fulfill the true teaching part on Saturdays when you teach at the library, okay? So what I'm trying to say is there is so much freedom. Please do not get hung up on, I have this one big purpose, and unless I go live that absolute purpose, my life will have no meaning, okay? Soul purpose is a large umbrella term, and you have a great deal of freedom underneath it. If you don't think that you found your soul purpose, ask yourself this question. If I could do anything for the rest of my life, or even if I could do anything I wanted tomorrow that would bring the most joy to my soul, what would it be? Okay? You can start it from there. Some people, you know, their sole purpose is to entertain. So maybe they're meant to sing or to write or to dance. You just have a tremendous amount of freedom and you are meant to explore it. Okay? All right, now let's go into soul lessons. Ouch, right? Soul lessons can be a little bit painful. Soul lessons include experiences that bring you the growth, perspective, and healing that you needed, okay, that you're meant to learn in this lifetime. So if I am meant to learn that my value is the same as how much I value everybody else, in other words, don't shortchange yourself, then the universe will probably bring me people that will devalue me, that won't reflect my value back, okay? Because I have to learn it for myself. With Wayne Dyer, with teaching people about God, God is love. Therefore, you would have to love yourself completely in order to love everyone else unconditionally and completely so that you could teach God, right? Therefore, Wayne Dyer had to learn his value, that he was worthy and deserving of unconditional and profound love, okay, without anyone reflecting it back to him. I mean, think of, if you can go back to think of yourself as an infant, you know, you probably have memories of your parents or your aunts and your uncles or your grandma, you know, just absolutely, oh my gosh, you're such a cute baby. I love you. You're held. You're played with. You feel so special. And someone who's in an orphanage doesn't have a lot of that, most likely. Okay, so that would be how their soul lessons came into play. Examples of soul lessons might be experiencing disease in order to learn self-care. Hello, that one was mine. Being surrounded by family, friends, and coworkers who constantly invade your space and impose their opinions onto you to help you learn to set boundaries. Another one of mine was figuring out what I believed, not when someone was telling me what to believe, okay? Figuring out what I believed. One of my true soul lessons in this lifetime is love expressed through compassion. That's it, love expressed through compassion. You see, love can be expressed in so many different ways. But love expressed through compassion means that you see everybody deserves to eat. Everybody deserves access to medicine. Everybody deserves access to shelter. That these are not things reserved for only a few or just some. That this is through everybody. If you are on this planet, you deserve those things. That is one of my soul lessons. And because that was my soul lesson, I was born to parents who were very Republican. And from a young age, I mean, I was told, if you want to eat, you work. And if you don't want to work and you starve to death, well, that's your fault for being stupid. I was raised very, very Republican. In fact, as a 17-year-old, I stood in front of a blue panel of the state legislature with a plan to replace the food stamp program. Because as a 17-year-old working in a grocery store, I was offended that I saw so much food stamp abuse. In the form back then, you got the little coupons. And so you'd have, you know, 4 to 6 kids go through the line, each with a single one. They'd buy a 5-cent piece of gum, get the 95 cents back. And then at the end, here would be the parent with the toilet paper or the beer, you know, whichever one they needed at the moment. And they would buy it with all those coins. And that offended me because I was raised to believe that I was supporting them, you know, that my tax dollars were supporting them. And so I lacked compassion for them. So some of my soul lessons were very difficult in compassion, and I had to be completely knocked on my backside medically and physically to the point that I could not fight my way out of it in order to learn the compassion I needed. A lot of our earthlings right now, sorry, they need lessons in compassion. It just slipped out. A lot of our earthlings are learning their lessons in compassion because we see the anger. Don't you see? Whenever you see that, see it as something they're working through. You know, whenever you see it, whenever you see that mentality of, well, you know, if you don't have enough money, it's because either you're stupid or you're lazy. You know, well, if you don't have anything to eat, it's because you're stupid or you're lazy. Whenever you see those mentalities, you know, see it as a soul lesson. See it as a soul lesson to bring about compassion. Okay, so we'll move on, but if you have questions there, you can post them. Has anyone posted any questions, guys? No? Okay. All right, so your soul lessons are meant to bring you the experiences you need. And there's a whole subcategory here that we'll hit that one later, and it has to do with how these manifest in your body, such as an autoimmune disease is attacking yourself, but we're going to hit that a little later. Okay, when we get to the true manifestation of the physical body. Okay, so your soul contracts. These are contracts between two or more souls. Most of the time are made before you incarnate, okay? Most of the time they're made before you incarnate. And so your soul contracts have to do with, okay, I'm going to make a contract to be with this woman as my mom. I'm going to make a contract that I'm going to find, you know, my husband and marry him. Nothing. Placebo. Sorry, a Piper just came downstairs and kind of interrupted the flow of things. And Courtney, who is her doctor, her nurse practitioner, saw that her arm was in a handmade sling. Nothing's wrong. We have the placebo effect going on here. Anyway, so your soul contracts are meant to let you heal, and often you heal together. If you find yourself in a situation with someone else where you truly have mastered the lesson, but you're still in this contract, it might be you as the old soul assisting the younger soul, meaning that this contract is not for your benefit personally, but it's for the collective benefit, okay? And we do this a lot with our younger souls because it's very much like riding a tandem bicycle. You know, we can only ascend as a planet and as a singular group of beings here, life on Earth. We can only ascend as fast as, you know, the youngest souls can ascend. So the older souls have to take the younger ones by the hand, get them on the tandem bicycle and do the steering while they do the pedaling sometimes. Okay. And that's truly what it is. So if you find yourself in a soul contract with a baby soul, understand that it is for the betterment of all. Okay. All right. So now let's go into energy types. Okay. Now this one is going to be, you know, some of these terms might be new to you. And if they are, just remember, I did not come up with any of these terms, okay? They're all from several resources that I will give you. So I did not make up the name, all right? But I want you to think about people that you know that might have these energy types and not get hung up on the name, but more think about the types of people reflected, okay? All right, so energy types. Here are energy types. Now, the first energy type is earthling, okay? Earthlings are the souls who come here who are, they're in kindergarten. They are basically, oh, I just see that now. How do you know if you have a baby soul? Shannon, if you could clarify that question, because do you mean if you're helping a baby soul or if you are a baby soul or if you know a baby soul? Okay, clarify that question and I'll answer it because the answer will be different based on which one of those it is. Okay, earthlings are the most common energy expression on earth. You will also hear me call them muggles, okay? They are younger souls. Earthlings are souls whose original incarnation is on the earth plane. They're relatively young souls and they often find themselves in kindergarten. This means that their lessons involve simply how to get along with others, cause and effect, and how to be, hopefully be human. Many earthlings have trouble imagining a world beyond the 2 to 3D experience. Okay? All right. So, okay, Shannon, I'll answer that one in just a second because that'll actually fit where we're going. Okay. So, if you're looking at an earthling, you're looking at someone who is part of the earth construct. So, you know, source energy is all. It's all the energy. It's all God, okay? It's all God. But it's also kind of like an apartment building, meaning that there's different levels, okay? And this was something that the angels had to teach me because I did not know this. I thought that once you were in source, everybody was pretty much equal, and it was all the same, and all was known, and all was healed. You know, they've been teaching me for several years now, and they've taught me, that it's very much like an apartment building, even in heaven, okay? So, where and when we choose to individuate and take that physical form can be different for people. Now, I know that the idea of life elsewhere in this universe is absolutely scary to a lot of people, but mostly those are earthlings. If you're not an earthling, the idea that life exists elsewhere is kind of a no-brainer. You know, there's even scripture in the Bible that referred to God coming from somewhere else. Timon, is it? I'll have to go look that up. One of my friends that was raised Pentecostal was actually the one who pointed that out to me recently. And so we know that there have been other beings on the planet Earth as well. We see a lot of that in the Old Testament, you know, the Nephilim, you know, the giants. We see this, but somehow it 2D and 3D earthlings, they have trouble with it. So if you're having trouble with it, just say, okay, I don't know how I feel about that, but I'm going to keep going. Okay. So earthlings, their first real individuation, their first real incarnations take place on the planet Earth, okay? Those are earthlings, those are muggles. If you hear me say earthlings or you hear me say muggles, that's who I'm talking about, okay? The other major energy type you're going to have is star seed or star child or star people. Depending on which teacher, you know, you're going to hear it said differently. These are your old souls. These are your teachers. These are the ones who come here who can see outside the 2D to 3D experience. Okay? So the fastest growing group of souls on the planet right now are starseed. These are your healers, your peacekeepers, your teachers, your light holders. These are the beings that come here to teach. They're wise, intuitive, traveling souls who have been around for a very long time. Okay? And so if you're earthling or star or a muggle, you're not a starseed, okay? Now, starseed is a very big category, and basically all it means is this isn't your first rodeo, okay? You've had a life elsewhere. That's all it means. There are so many places you could have been that we're not going to really go into tonight, but just know that if you are a starseed, a star person, star people, then you've been around for a while and you've come to Earth most likely voluntary to be of service. Okay? Starseeds have their beginnings in the stars. What I find interesting is a lot of Native American tribal legends refer to the people coming from the stars. So they've known this for a very long time. Starseeds is perhaps the hardest category to accurately describe because the starseeds' characteristics will depend on where they come from and how long they've been on Earth. Okay, now this is where
a baby soul is different than a baby starseed, okay? Because if your soul is old enough to come to Earth to begin with, you are an old soul, period. But how long you've been on Earth will influence how comfortable you are on this planet, okay? If this is one of your first incarnations on planet Earth, it's very difficult. Everything here feels toxic or poison to you. Everything feels dangerous, okay? My starseed kiddos, most of them are boys. They're allergic to almost everything on this planet. Almost everything here they're allergic to. I could make a food list of what they can eat a whole lot easier than what they can't when we look at all their food allergies. They're really sensitive, and I'm telling you right now, a lot of our starseed kiddos are being misdiagnosed with autism. Because they incarnate, they land here, it's dense, it's dark, it's negative, it's full of violence. They don't know what to do, so they cocoon themselves, and now we label that as, disabilities. Okay, so if you are a baby earthling, okay, this means that you're a young soul and you're in kindergarten, and your job here is to learn how to get along with other people, maybe how to keep your word when you make a promise, keep it. You know, a lot of times the baby earthlings need to learn how to, you know what, they can believe differently than you and it doesn't threaten your life. We see this a lot, especially when it comes to religion. Look at how many wars have been waged in the name of religion, and what that comes down to are baby earthlings that say, but if you don't believe how I do, then you are a danger to me. You know, therefore, I need to kill you because you're a danger to me. Now, the starseed babies are different because they are old souls. They're just not acclimated to Earth yet, okay? Now, Shannon asked the question, how do you know if you're helping a baby soul? You know, it feels like you're helping a child in some ways. You know, you're dealing with somebody that you really have to be careful how you explain things. You have to be cognizant of their level of understanding, and you have to always really work on knowing what they're capable of knowing and doing and what they're not, okay? You would not send a five-year-old in kindergarten, you know, second week of kindergarten into a calculus class and expect them to be able to hang. But yet we do this all the time with our baby earthlings. We expect them to have understandings that they're not capable of having. And so this sets us up for frustration and them up for frustration. So if you're guiding someone and helping someone, it is really important that you ask for guidance, pray for guidance. What is this person capable of understanding? What are they capable of knowing? And go from there. Okay, there's all kinds of, I don't want to spend a lot of time on the different systems of where, starseeds can originate, but just know that, you know, the systems are different. So if I have a couple of starseed clients who are from systems that do not have gender, there's not male and female, therefore there's not straight or gay. They typically feel like they're asexual on the planet Earth. The idea of coupling off and getting married is, you know, like the stupidest thing they've ever heard of. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. And they just want to live in family units of people, you know, just coming together, living together and loving each other. And what's so complicated about that? Other starseeds that come from planets that are similar to Earth or they've been on Earth for a while, they tend to do better. Okay. They tend to do better. Okay. So, you know, The idea of being old enough to be a starseed means that you've gone through your own personal karma at least once. So now you're here to guide others. So you might volunteer yourself to have karma and stuff so that you can demonstrate it to others, or you get involved in group karma to help other people. Okay, so there's only two types. You know, basically, you have your earthlings and you have your starseeds. Under starseed, there are a lot of categories, okay? Now, if you just want to research starseed, I recommend Dolores Cannon. I think her book, The Three Waves of Volunteers in the New Earth, is pretty amazing. I definitely think it's something you should check out. It will do good to help you understand it. The other thing that I like is Lavendar with starseedhotline.com, okay? The other categories you can find in Doreen Virtue's book, A Pocket Guide to Earth Angels. Where I'm going to disagree slightly with Doreen is that Spirit has shown me that all of these categories are starseed. All of them are. So elementals are starseed, incarnate angels are starseed. They're all starseed because none of these originated on Earth, but there's subcategories in them, okay? All right, so elementals. Elementals are a huge category, but at the heart of the issue, if you remember, elementals are earthy, you've got it, all right? There are different kinds of elementals, and that's what I want to talk about. So if you've ever heard the term elemental, you've probably heard it connected to the fae, fairies, pixies, sprites, leprechauns, all those fabulous energies. Well, Piper the pixie. So the elemental, think earthy. Now, advocate elementals, okay? If you're an advocate elemental, you are deeply and intimately connected to earth and animals. Advocate elementals see value in every life form on earth and are here to teach and advocate that awareness. They feel outraged at the idea of exploiting animals for food or fuel. They're angry that anyone would hunt, kill, or eat another living being, even an animal. They are often vegetarian or vegans and can often be found in groups like PETA. They are very health conscious and many practice yoga or something similar. AEs, or advocate elementals, are, as I just squished an ant, the irony in that, oh my gosh, I literally squished an ant that was climbing across my paper at the moment I'm talking about this. Oh boy. Okay, well, you know, an advocate elemental would seriously have a problem with what I just did, like truly, because that was a living being and I just squished it without even thinking about it. So I do apologize to it and to you. Advocate elementals are here to teach us that all life have value. Unfortunately, many AEs are prone to anger and they can lose their effectiveness as teachers because they get way too upset, way too angry. They've even become violent and offensive in their protests, calling the very people they are meant to teach to become disinterested in the cause. One time, an advocate elemental client told me that she saw no difference between the life of a hamster and the life of a child, and that their lives had equal value, and that if she could only save one, she truly did not know who she would save. Now, you know, there's no comparing them. I would save a child a million times over before I would save a hamster. If I could save both, I would. But to me, there's no comparing them. But the advocate elementals might not see a difference there, okay? And yes, they would be very offended that I just killed that ant. So I do apologize to them and to the ant. Okay, the joyful elementals. All right, the joyful elementals. I'm going to sum up this group with one name, Robin Williams. Okay, Robin Williams is the best example of a joyful elemental I can think of. Joyful elementals are fun. They entertain you. They're here to remind you that life should be joyful and funny. They're here to remind you to laugh, smile, and enjoy the journey of life. They often go into careers where they entertain, inspire, and captivate others. They'll be singers, actors, musicians, and comedians. They can often be found pulling pranks. And some, yes, they may not know where the line between funny and cruel lies. They're often known for pranks that go too far. Sometimes these individuals can be so wonderfully entertaining and joyful that they easily mask the dark sadness and pain within. Joyful elementals can become almost obsessed with making others laugh, that they can go within it and neglect their own emotional well-being. Unfortunately, this group of elementals are also prone to issues with addiction and unhealthy behaviors, drug use, alcohol use, neglecting their physical body. They really can become so fixated on the joyful side for others that they neglect themselves. They can have very explosive tempers, but fortunately, they are pretty quick to forgive and move forward. Okay, so joyful elementals are basically Robin Williams. They are. I love that group, although we all need to be aware that it's a mask, okay? And they love wearing the mask, and they love inspiring you and entertaining you and making you so happy. But, you know, someone needs to be their safe space, you know, that place where they get to be the support and they get to, you know, be loved. And, you know, one of my favorite messages I've had from Spirit was shortly after Robin Williams' transition to Spirit, I asked for a message that he was okay, because he just meant the world to me and I loved him so much and I still love him. And I just wanted to know that he was okay. And I've tried to never use, you know, my ability to be a medium and talk to angels and talk to spirit. as a way to exploit any famous person. I have talked to a few famous people, but I typically keep those for myself and maybe a few close friends, because that's not what I want to be known for, is, you know, a celebrity medium is what they call them, because I don't think it's I think it's exploitive. Let's be honest. I think it's exploitive unless you're asked by the family. So, but I did ask for a message that he was okay. And the image I got was so healing that I just knew. I mean, it was like in that instant, I'm like, oh yeah, he's good. So what I saw was Robin Williams. Now, get this. He was still looked like himself, and he was his present age, but everything around him was oversized. So it kind of looked like he was a little kid, even though he wasn't, but he was wrapped up in this big, warm, fluffy blanket on this huge, oversized couch, and he had, like, hot cocoa in a mug, and he was doing – do I need to plug that in for you? Okay. He was doing really well with sitting on the couch drinking his hot cocoa, and there was a line of people, okay? Just as far as your eye could see, there was a line of people waiting to inspire him. They were telling him jokes. They were doing impressions. They were doing Robin Williams. And this line went, it was probably 100,000 people long. And he was just on that couch holding his hot cocoa laughing. And they basically every moment of joy he ever gave anyone on this planet was returned to him when he transcended. And when I saw that, I went, yeah, he's good. He's good, because he gets every bit of love back, every bit of joy back that he gave to others. Okay. So that's your joyful elemental. Now the third elemental is called balance. So do you see that those are two, the advocate elementals and the joyful elementals are two totally opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, one is all about advocacy. One is all about entertaining. Now, right here in the middle, we have the balanced elementals. These individuals care about our planet and all its inhabitants. They do want life to be fun, but they want it to be balanced and healing for all. They teach through compassion, they inspire through heart-based services, and they heal through peace. These healers tend to be very tender-hearted, and they walk around with their feelings right on their shoulders. They are true friends, and when they choose to love you forever. They love unconditionally, and they are just a true gift to this planet, okay? They're a true gift to this planet. So that's the three subcategories of elementals. So if you get Doreen Virtue's book, A Pocket Guide to Earth Angels, and you read about elementals, know that I've taken the group elementals down and I've broken it into further categories. So you won't read about the joyful, the advocate, and the balanced in Doreen's book. You'll just read about elementals. I took it a step further. Okay.
Chan, let's know, are you just one or can you be several elements?
You can only be one type of elemental, but you can be an elemental and a starseed. So if you're an elemental, you are a starseed. Okay. But keep in mind, I mean, these are categories. It doesn't mean that you don't have crossovers. You know, it's kind of like saying, well, I'm from the Midwest. Okay. Well, that's where I'm from. But even in the Midwest, there's variations. Okay, so closing the door on elementals, you know, probably if you're seeing a lot of one and those, you're probably more the balanced, because even in the balanced, you can sway one direction or the other. Think of it like a really long scale, and the pendulum can stop anywhere along. You have advocate on one end, joyful on the other end, and balanced right in the middle. Well, you can be balanced closer to advocate, or you can be balanced closer to joyful. So, yes. So, and the elemental categories are going to cross because they're all starseeds. All starseeds. Okay. Now let's talk about incarnate angels. Woo, 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 my favorite. Incarnate angels. There's a whole lot of wings going on. That's right. There's a whole lot of wings going on in this room. Okay. Mandy out there. Mandy Ramsey. I just see what you wrote. We know Les is not an advocate elemental. No, I'd choose the child over the hamster any day. But Mandy, you are an incarnate angel. Courtney, Emily, incarnate angels. They're still star seeds because they're not from, you know, they didn't originate on the earth plane, but the incarnate angel, okay, these earth angels are high vibrational beings who are often or always starseed origin, but often contain some very specific characteristics, okay? Incarnate angels are loving, kind, and compassionate souls. They're here on earth to help lost people find their way to healing and empowerment. However, incarnating on the earth plane is often a shock to the senses, and this earth angel easily spirals into a place of pain and depression. Incarnate angels are easy to spot because of the distinct physical features. Large eyes filled with love and innocence, round and heart-shaped faces, lightened or highlighting their hair, weight issues. They wear their expressions right on their faces, an open book. An incarnate angel does not have a poker face. Incarnate angels should not play poker. You cannot do it. Okay? Incarnate angels never want anyone to suffer alone. Okay? The incarnate angel's tendency will be to share in your burdens, and they easily develop codependent relationships with others who are broken, including addiction. Okay? Incarnate angels feel guilt over everything, even things they have absolutely no responsibility. They see the good in everyone and believe in second, third, and even 10th chances. They don't give up on people. Although incarnate angels are highly psychic, incarnate angels will talk themselves out of their inner guidance, especially when it comes to warnings about people. Incarnate angels will insist on giving people every opportunity to make the right decision, even if history and intuition says otherwise. Okay, incarnate angels are very strong empaths, and it's very important that they always remember they absorb the energies around them. Okay, here's the catch 22 for incarnate angels. They're often called to work with vulnerable populations. Okay, they're social workers, they're teachers, they're nurses, they work in customer service. Okay, they can often be found in the role of social worker, counselor, teacher, nurse, etc. But working with these unhealthy and vulnerable populations can be risky to an empath, because unless safeguards are put in place, the incarnate angel will absorb all that pain, toxicity, and anger until it poisons them, and they become just as unhealthy as the population they serve. Incarnate angels are prone to autoimmune diseases, pain disorders, and inflammation diseases. They are like psychic sponges that literally absorb illness and pain. In order for an incarnate angel to live a healthy and fulfilled life, they must learn how to release energies they absorb, set realistic boundaries with others who can easily take advantage of them, and take actions that help them feel like they're living an authentic and purpose-filled life. Okay? All right. Incarnate angel energy types. I want to spend a little bit of time here because I know several of you are this energy type. Okay? All right, so yes, Jana. Jana is one as well. All right, incarnate angels. You know, this is my energy type, so it's one I can speak to because boy do I know it. You know, there were times when I would literally feel guilty because I could not think of anything to feel guilty about, and surely somewhere I had failed someone that I could feel guilty about. You know, incarnate angels get stuck in these mind loops of feeling guilty, feeling horrible, feeling that, you know, if one of us is unhappy, then no one can be happy. We either we're all happy together or we're all working on it together. Okay. They are often called women, and men can be incarnate angels, but more women than men incarnate. And they're called women who love too much. Okay, women who love too much. The problem or the challenge to the incarnate angel is learning how to be there for someone, support them, love them, and see the end healing instead of where they are right now is lost. Okay, this is what I had to learn in my journey, because I do believe that my life philosophy for the longest time was no one would suffer alone in my presence. If you were sad, I was going to be sad with you. Okay? If you were hurt, I was going to be hurt with you. If you were lost, I was going to be lost with you. Okay? This was my way of serving and knowing that you would never be alone. Now, all that did really, even though it offered the idea of companionship, it just made two of us completely miserable. It just made two of us completely lost. It just made two of us completely guilt-ridden. It did absolutely nothing. It wasn't until I truly started to see the bigger picture that I saw that my job was to honor exactly where that person was and then be the person of faith that sees the miracle, to be the spiritual companion that sees the outcome as healed. That is my job, because when I was feeling like I was struggling right along with them, being that companion, hurting with them, feeling lost with them, I was actually making them worse instead of better. You see, I was a highly psychic person and an incarnate angel. So all of my energy, instead of going to healing, it went to feeding the brokenness. It went to feeding the anger, feeding the feelings of being lost. It went to creating more pain, more sadness, more hopelessness, instead of, you know what, I know you're really lost right now, but I'm going to hold the light up so when you're ready, you can find your way out. Okay? That's the role of the incarnate angel. It is to know that you can love deeply and completely, but you don't have to get lost in the pain. Okay? In fact, I'm going to say that you do more harm than good if you're not willing to see past this illusion of brokenness and into the healing. That's your job. Your job as the incarnate angel is to be the person of faith, the spiritual companion, the light bearer or light holder or light worker that can see past the brokenness of this moment and into that person's healing, into their finding their way. You have to be the one that can hold that faith for them, especially if they can't do it for themselves. Okay? That's your job as the incarnate angel. That's what you have to do. That is the only way you can live in your power and you can be of service. Because you know what? You are hurting them and not helping them if you get lost with them. That was such a hard lesson for me, because here I thought my job was I could feel it right along with you and suffer right along with you. And here comes God saying, hey, you missed the point. My point was that you could feel it, but that you could show them that there's a way out. Because if you can feel what they feel, they can feel what you feel. So you feel the hope, you feel the healing, you feel the empowerment, because when they're ready, they'll be able to borrow from your faith, from your knowing, to make it happen. That is what an incarnate angel does. An incarnate angel says, I know you're lost. I know it. I can see it. And I so understand. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold power for us both. Okay? I'm going to hold healing for us both. I'm going to hold the light for us both. And when you're ready, all you have to do is look. When you're ready, I'm here. And you will be not only fulfilling your purpose, but you will be truly giving that friend or that loved one something of value. Be the person of faith, the spiritual companion, the one who sees past the illusion of brokenness so that you can truly help people heal. Okay? That's your job. Incarnate angels, you know, you have such an important job on this planet. You have to learn how to be who you are. The problem is that we've been programmed, you know, and we're going to talk about programming again in this masterclass, and we talked about programming in the prosperity masterclass. But if there was ever an energy type that truly needed programming, it's the incarnate angel, you know, because she needs it, because her job is so clear. Her raw abilities are so intense that they need direction. They need direction. Okay, so that's the incarnate angel energy type, and it is so important, okay, that you learn how to live within your energy type, that you learn the pluses and the negatives and what it's like when everything is flowing well and what it's like when they're not, you know. Okay, the other thing I want to talk about is an energy pattern, okay, because this question comes in a lot. So what are energy patterns? Like if I'm a Pisces and I'm a Pisces, you know, what does that mean? What about my numerology? What about numerological readings? What do those mean? You know, what about anything with my birth year and the Chinese? What is that? The Chinese, is it the zodiac that does like the year of your birth? Okay. These are called energy patterns. Okay. And so remember when we went back up to that, you're walking along that beach with God and you're deciding when you're going to come down? It is so much more complex than we think. We think that that talk with God, and then we find a soul contract with a woman. She makes a soul contract with a man for the you know, the sperm part of the conception, and then we just appear. No, we have to come in under the energy patterns that are conducive to not only who we are as an energy type, but also what energy patterns we want to see manifest in our lives. Okay?
So is it, too, depending on what our job is or what we need to learn?
Soul lessons factor into it. Everything does. Everything of this is decided with you and God. And God says, okay, you know, Leslie, you're going to go down there. You know, you're already a starseed incarnate angel. We already know that. These are the soul lessons for you as an individual. This is what you're going to help other people learn. All right, looking at all this, all right, you need to be born sometime in the Pisces between 1973 and 1976. And I was born March 16, 1975. So I was given these options of when energy patterns would be favorable for me, my soul lessons and everything. And that's when I took physical form. I believe this is also true for indigo, crystal, and rainbow. Okay. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to teach indigo, crystal, and rainbow as energy types. I disagree. I don't think so. Okay, because I know incarnate angels who are very indigo, and I know elementals who are very indigo, and I even know earthlings who are very indigo. Therefore, I see indigo energy as a pattern they're born under, not as a type. All right. Same thing with crystal kids. Okay. I see it the same thing. You know, we can have different energy types born under the energy pattern of crystal kids. Okay, same thing for rainbow. So I think of energy patterns as influences that shape your incarnation. Okay, they're not an absolute rule, all right, but it can shape it if conditions are favorable. Let me use this as an example. For a very long time, I did not have a whole lot of faith in astrology. Okay, because I did a few astrological readings with people that wanted to trade sessions early on, and I had one lady literally argue with me for an hour about what marriage I am on, my first or my second. And she was, because my chart to her showed I was on my second marriage, okay, she did not believe me when I told her that I was not divorced. She said, you don't have to be ashamed. I was divorced too once. This is nothing to be ashamed of. And I'm saying I'm not ashamed. I wouldn't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of, but I'm not, I have never had a divorce. And my chart showed I had one divorce and I was on my second marriage. Okay. That's why I believe it's a pattern. It's an influence. It's not an absolute law. All right. So it happens that Pisces are a really, psychic sign, but that doesn't mean everything there fits me. All right. So an example of this is a soul who's wanting to incarnate to learn how to have a critical eye and pay attention to details. Okay, if your soul lessons and your soul experiences would involve this, you would probably choose the Virgo sign with a birth date between August 23rd and September 22nd. Now, does that mean that a Taurus can't pay attention to detail? Of course it doesn't. Does that mean a Pisces can? Of course it doesn't. We're talking about energy patterns that influence us. They're not solid laws. Okay. If you look at numerology, same thing. So if you are needing to really experience freedom and adventure in your life, you're probably going to incarnate with a life path number of 5. Okay. I am a 5. Here's what that means. If I don't seek the freedom and adventure side of the 5, I go into the total chaos side of 5. So I stay on top of my 5 and make sure that I'm seeking adventure and freedom. Okay. Energy types and patterns cross a lot, okay? Now, if an incarnate angel, never mind, I already covered that. Okay, I'm looking at the article I wrote for that Lithuanian magazine, what I'm looking at. There's also a less common occurrence called a walk-in and a walk-out, okay? There's this long list of things I'll argue with God someday, and this is definitely one of them. I've never seen a walk-in, walk-out go well. I've only seen it a few times, but I can tell you it would just be better to mourn the person who transitioned versus have a walk-in, walk-out happen. But in one case, there was a there's a pretty famous spiritual teacher who's a walk-in, okay? And I don't want to give it away. But what I will say is that I had some kind of relationship with this person, and I was there when the walk-in walk-out happened. Okay, the relationship I had with the person continues with that person being in spirit now. But the walk-in soul that took over the spiritual teacher's life is on the physical plane living her day-to-day life, and I have no connection to that person. Okay, one time I was doing a reading for a woman who was talking about her soulmate, her husband, that they had been best friends and soulmates for more than 30 years. Then one day, out of the blue, he wakes up, and she said he'd been really sick before that, and he'd gotten really sick. And then one day, out of the blue, he wakes up, and he says, I don't know you. I don't really know me, but I don't love you, and I'm leaving. He changed his name, his religion, his appearance, everything. Okay? This is a walk-in, walk-out. And we know that because when she came in and she starts telling me this, her husband in spirit is standing behind her saying, I'm so sorry, that's not what we agreed to. And he explained it. He said, you know, I could not continue. I was way too sick. He had cancer. He was near death. He could not stay on the earth plane. His soul had to go home. But he knew that his best friend could not survive without him, or he didn't believe she could survive without him. So he made an agreement with another soul that walked into his body, took over his life, and he was meant to stay with the wife until they transitioned to spirit so that, you know, the original husband could go home to heaven and heal. I think this is a bad idea, just for the record, okay? The result is the guy wakes up, says, you know, I don't know you. I don't know me. Changes everything. His name, changes his religion, everything. And that's what happens. So the soul goes home, but the body stays with the new soul in it. Walk in, walk out. The walk in is the soul that came from spirit that took over the body in the life. The walk out is the soul that left because he needed to go home and let people heal. It's a controversial topic. I would love to argue that it never, ever, ever happens, but I know it has at least three times. Okay. And in all three times, I think it was a bad idea. I really think it was a bad idea. But again, I'm not the one making these decisions. We all have autonomy. You know, so if these souls want this agreement, you know, God's going to let you do it for whatever, you know, for whatever the learning needs to be. Sometimes the walk-in will adapt to the new life just fine, but other times, no. Other times, no. They wake up in a life they do not know, and all they want to do is get away from it, okay? All they want to do is get away from it. Okay. All right, so there are your energy types, energy patterns, all of that when you come in. Now, there are websites. If you want to know what your numerological numbers are, there are all kinds of websites that do that, that will give you an update on it. I happen to be friends with one of the best numerology people on the planet. Her name is Amy Woods. Let me see if I can pull her website off Google real quick. She's on Facebook. She's a Facebook friend. So if you send her a friendship request, she will approve it, and then you could follow her on Facebook as well. Most of the stuff she posts is very, like she says, I'm living as a muggle now. Okay, so it's amy-woods.com is her thing. Are you going to type that in there?
Yeah.
amy-woods.com. She's probably the most gifted numerologist I've ever been blessed to work with. Truly, truly, truly. I love Amy. In fact, I think we're going to have her on in the masterclass coming up. Okay. All right. Mandy said, I remember begging to walk out and let a walk-in come in. Well, I think we all get to that point sometimes where we don't think we can go on. But, you know, if you're not done with what you came here to do, you know, God's just going to say, you know, it's you're still up to bat. You know, you're still up to bat. And so it's you know, you keep going. Shannon wrote, I'm learning the things I thought were in my wildest imagination are true. Don't I know it, girlfriend? Don't I know it? it's like all these things that I would just argue with God are so true. And it's like, okay, I'm going to have to explain this and blah, 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 blah. And yeah, it is. Okay. I want to hit, I know we're just about out of time because it's been an hour, but there are a couple other things that I really wanted to hit tonight that I want to move through so that we can at least introduce it this week and really dive into it next week. And like I said, I'll try to get these papers up on the website so you can go pull them down because it is helpful to have them to look at. Okay. Because we're still at the place where we're looking at your incarnation, okay? We're looking at, these are all the things that are factored in when you individuate from source energy and you incarnate on this planet in a physical vessel, okay? That's what we're looking at. So I want to, one of the things that we're going to do is really look at biblical scripture that supports the things that we're talking about, okay? And if we look at the gospel according to John, okay, I want to read to you chapter 1, verse 1, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. All right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How many times, if you've ever had a coaching session with me, or if you've listened to a radio show, or, you know, you've listened to or you've read a blog I've written, how many times have you heard me say, your words matter? Your words matter, okay? Because your word emits a frequency. That frequency is a vibration that manifests an experience, okay, or some other physical manifestation for you. In the beginning was the Word. God is words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? The Word was God. The Word was with God. So if Source, okay, the beginning of Source was a word. A word, a thought word, a spoken word. Okay? A word. Words have frequency. Frequencies are points of attraction, including attracting or creating a physical body, creating or attracting experiences. In the beginning was the Word. That means that everything, including the planet Earth, came about because of a vibration from a word. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Okay, this tells us God's point of creation is word. What does this mean for you? That your words are the point of creation for this incarnation and everything that comes as a result of it. It's manifesting. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See how all of that is like so full circle? Okay. This is what God is trying to get us to understand, that your soul is so powerful that with the words of incarnation, you have created a physical vessel and you are now in physical form. Okay? That it was that choice, the word to incarnate. The words that gave you the ability to individuate from source energy and to come to this planet in a physical vessel to live this life. Okay? It started and it came about because of words. Words are forces of creation. They are forces of manifestation. They are the powerful point of the beginning of anything. In the beginning was the Word. So your beginning of this incarnation, your beginning of this individuation from source is the intent to do so. And the intent is expressed through words do what? They bring about feelings. Feelings do what? They bring about experiences. If they're good feelings, they bring about experiences that match the good feelings. If they're bad feelings, it's a reflection back to us that something needs to be changed with an uncomfortable experience. Okay? I really want you to think about that because there is such a powerful, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I do not know that we have ever given this single verse the attention and the attention and the time that we should, because we are being told the point of creation right here is with Word, spoken Word, thought Word. Okay. Now, many of you know I love that A Course in Miracles workshop with Marianne Williamson. And one of the things she says is that in the Bible, it tells us that Adam fell asleep. Nowhere does it ever say he woke up. Therefore, A Course in Miracles contends that, okay, that all of the physical realm is a hallucination because we had a thought that was not loving, and that the physical hallucination is bringing us about the experiences to help us return our thoughts to love so that we no longer need the hallucination to work out our stuff, okay? And so it's right there. It told us Adam fell asleep, but he never woke up, okay? He never woke up. Before Adam fell asleep, Adam was in perfect harmony with God, perfect harmony with creation, okay? It was only after he fell asleep and the things that ensued that there was a separation. And again, nowhere does it say Adam woke up. All right? Okay. Shannon, I came to realize the power of the spoken word by reading the Bible in our last class. It was like a light bulb came on. Yes, I completely agree. One of the things that the angel said to me, you know, for about the first 3 to 4 years that I did this type of work, the angels told me no reading anything. You know, they wanted me to be taught by them and not taught by any other teacher. They wanted my filter to be to them and let them teach me. Okay. Then after about 4 years, they told me I could start reading, and then they've never let me stop. You know, they just keep me busy all the time now. But early on, they wanted me to be very untainted or uninfluenced, should be the better word, by other teachers and their interpretations, because what they've taught me is everyone is just an interpretation. Even the scripture is just one person's interpretation that's been changed over and over again to many people's interpretations. When we look at the writings of Matthew Fox, a Christian mystic, you're looking at his interpretation. When you read something by Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, any one of these others, you are looking at their interpretation. So stop looking at it as fact. Let your discernment guide you and see it as an interpretation. And that's why, you know, they made me be purely taught from them for the first several years so that I would be able to discern this. Okay. And so we're all part of Adam's dream. Well, in that regard, Shannon, we're all Adam, because Adam just represents mankind. It was never meant to be singular. That was one of the first things I learned in Old Testament at Oklahoma Baptist University. The word Adam was mankind. And so we're all still asleep. Well, what the Course in Miracles would say is we're all part of the collective hallucination, which is where we work out the thoughts that we're not loving to return to the thoughts that we're loving. Okay? So I suggest, one of you put a link to that on there. It's Marianne Williamson's Return to Love workshop. Courtney knows what it is because she's the one that sent it to me. It really is a very good, I mean, I'm still listening to it. It's been months. Courtney introduced me to it months ago. I listen to it at least 3 days a week. Now it's like 9 hours long, so clearly I don't get through all 9 hours, but I have my favorites. you know, my favorite hours. I love hours 1, hours 2, hours 5, and hours 6. Okay, those are the ones I love the most. And so, yeah, Jana wrote, and a lot of people need to wake up. Yes, 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 yes. We need to wake up. Don't you see the hallucination becomes self-feeding? It becomes something all on its own. And the programming that we're talking about, all of that is part of the hallucination. So the more we wake up, right, the more we can return to love. Okay, return to love. Jana wrote, did you meditate a lot? At that point, no, not really. I mean, you know, meditation for me early on was really difficult. You know, I didn't know how to do it. I really struggled with it. I could do guided meditations, more along lines of I had would have dialogues with God, dialogues with spirit. And so that, okay, I'm looking at the chat room now. Hold on, let me figure out what we got. Hold on. Actually, there was a first man to incarnate. That would be Adam. Incarnations had a beginning and will have an end. First man to enter flesh after the fall. Well, that's an interpretation, because when I took Old Testament at Oklahoma Baptist University, when they go back to the original wording, they said it meant mankind and not Adam as a single being. Because if it was Adam as a single being and Eve as a single being, then who did their children procreate with? Right? So in order for there to be more people, it had to be Adam as plural, you know, and that word for Adam means, you know, mankind. It meant several beings. Okay. And so that's how they taught it in Old Testament. That's how they taught it in the scholar classes at Oklahoma Baptist University. But again, there we're looking at someone's interpretation. And when we commune with God and we speak with God, God will speak to us. But we have to make sure we're listening. Okay. We have to make sure that we're paying attention. And that's important. All right. Okay. So going back on here, I just really want you for the next week to think about the power of word, whether it's a thought word or whether it's a spoken word. And let me ask you this, does the power of a word change if no one hears it? Okay, where two or more are gathered in my name, Christ said. If you ask in my name, it shall be done, Christ said. So does this then tell us that words are more powerful when more people hear them or more people align with them? This is what we would get when you would say, can I get an amen? You know, the pastor would say something really profound, and he wanted to know that you were standing in unison with him, and he would say, can I get an amen? Okay? Same thing as, you know, does anyone else hear this? Can I get a second? You know, same kind of energy. Same kind of energy. Okay, so I want you to really think about for next week the power of words, okay? The power of words, the power of manifesting, the power of manifesting. And then we're going to move into what happens once, well, we're going to move into the energy body and the emotional body next week. Okay, so next week we're going to move into, you have a physical body, okay? You have an energy body. Let me write this down so I don't forget. Energy, physical, and then your emotional. I don't know what Courtney and Emily are over there laughing at, but it must be something really funny. Anyway, so we're going to move into next week. That's what we're going to move into. Okay. We're going to move into those three bodies, because knowing how those three bodies work. Okay. And what goes where? You know, the physical body, the energy body, and the emotional body. Knowing those three bodies, okay, and how they work, how you keep them in optimum alignment, and how you, you know, how you keep them working for you is important. No. We're just going to go over it next week. Because if I start that, there's no quick exit. There's no fast getting out of that one. So we'll save that one for next week. But I do have different definitions for those three things. Okay, so looking at, you know, where we are, it's good. Okay, I'm really happy with where we are. I'm happy with the transition of the class. So next week, we're really going to dive into the bodies and what you need to know as the result of it. Okay, I want to end with another one of the prayers from Marianne Williamson's book, Illuminata. And this is an evening prayer. And I think it's very beautiful. So after I say the prayer, I'm going to do a guided meditation. Okay. So I'm going to keep flowing right into it. So I'm not going to stop and say, okay, now we're going to do the meditation. I'm just going to use the energy of the prayer to move us into a meditation. So I want you to close your eyes, focus on your breath, breathe in white light, and exhale out everything else. Okay. Breathe in God light, breathe in love. Breathe in peace, breathe in oneness, and then exhale out all thoughts of resistance and everything that no longer serves you. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for my safety and the safety of my loved ones. As I enter sleep, may these hours give me peace. May they bring me healing to my mind and body. While I sleep, dear Lord, please bless the world. Where there is pain, where there are people who have no place to sleep, who suffer and who die, may your angels come to them and minister to their hearts. Dear Lord, please let the light stream in. Please use my hours of sleep. Please prepare me during these hours of rest for greater service to you. May the light that surrounds me tomorrow shine through me. Soften my heart. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. I want you to see yourself surrounded by a circle of angels. Some are archangels. They're massive and they're beautiful. Their light radiates powerfully and completely. Others are healing angels. They are sources of comfort and gentleness. You feel their presence. You feel their warmth and your love. I want you to be the observer. Even though it is you inside the circle of angels, I want you to disconnect just enough to be the observer. I want you to see yourself through the eyes of all of these angels. Within this circle is a soul of great importance. In this soul circle is a soul of great purpose, great value, and great love. If only they could see themselves clearly. If only they could see everything they have to offer this planet. Maybe then they would let themselves shine. As the observer, I want you to see all of the magnificence, the beauty, and the grace within this person in the middle of the circle. I want you to see all of their potential, all of their truth, and all of their beauty. You see, God exists in every cell. There is light in every single cell of this body. This person is a divine, magnificent being. They radiate light and love. They truly shine the love of God in every interaction and in every moment. This person matters. Their life matters. Their joy matters. And their healing matters. Now I want you, as the observer, to see the divine magnificence in yourself. You see, you are an extension of God's grace.
There is nothing about you in this moment that is broken or wrong or lacking. In this moment, you see your wholeness. You see yourself as complete. You see God's own magnificence expressed in every cell in your body. You see it in every spark of light that flows within you, through you, and out into the world. You no longer need to be the observer to see this, as you find yourself now back in the center of this circle. Your heart swells wide open as you allow yourself to receive the love and support from this circle of angels. You are one of them and you are home. You see the truth now and you see it clearly. You see your role in this greater picture. And you know that your wholeness, your healing, is never in question. It's merely your lack of perception. In this moment, you make the decision to keep your eyes open and your heart open and to always choose that next thought as love, love-based, wholeness and completion, glorious and magnificent. You choose to embrace the divinity within you. Open your arms out wide and say, I am ready to live in truth. I am ready to live my own magnificence. And by doing so, I give permission for other people to live theirs. I will no longer dim my light, hide myself, or mute my words. I am ready to be a full expression of God's love, grace, and magnificence. And through that full expression, I will inspire others to do the same. For the glorious divinity exists in every single person on this planet. And as individual rays of light, we might be small, but together we create a sun more magnificent than anyone could ever imagine. Together we light away all the darkness and we love away all the fear. And for right now, I make that commitment. I grab the hand of the soul next to me and I say, ready, set, let's go. We are light workers, light warriors. We will light the way, shine the path, and own the truth. One step at a time. We thank the angels for their presence, their love, and their grace. We release the circle with light and love. In Christ's name, amen. So it is. All right, guys, how was that? All right, so here's what we're going to do. Next week, same time, same place, we'll move into the bodies. And be sure and, you know, come into the Welcome to Earth 101 group and chat there. Okay. All right. Anyone else have any announcements? Oh, yes. Sorry. I'm still a little ungrounded from that, I think. So if you would like to schedule a personal session, you can do so online. That's at BibleBeltMystic.com. If you want to send me an email, that's Leslie@BibleBeltMystic.com. I do have an office line, 405-59-ANGEL, but I'm telling you right now, I really don't have time to answer it. If you want to schedule, you do so online, and then we can talk during that appointment. The phone calls get to be a little much for me to respond to. If you're a member of this class and you've been making any type of love donation, you can schedule the reduced rate session via my website. It says regular coaching class or students, and I think it still says prosperity class, but you know, this class as well. You can schedule a 1-hour coaching session for $100, which is reduced from the other price of $150. If you would like to make your love-based donation for this class, you can do so via PayPal, Leslie@mylightworker.com. You can send it to
my office at 330 West Gray, Suite 411. There's a mail slot. You can leave it there. Okay, and we'll just do one more quick question before we end. Shannon wrote, so what is an atheist, like an elemental, wise one, or earthling? You know, any one of those categories could go through a dark moment of the soul and be an atheist. I don't think that there's any one energy type that, oh, we only see atheists here. I think that, you know, and actually I think having a lifetime where you are an atheist would be some of the most powerful soul lessons you could have. You know, because if you're an atheist and you do not believe in God and you do not believe in, you know, this divine intelligence that's in charge of things. So you truly believe that it's totally just random. And when you die, you're dead and there's nothing else. You know, and so, you know, the one thing that angels have always impressed upon me is this: God is the same always, you know. So even when we're talking about this beginning, God is the same perfect, divine, loving being then as God is now. Mankind has had this really bad habit of projecting our egos on God. You know, the lens through which we see God changes, okay? And I don't want to get too far into this right now, but whenever humans want to project an ego on God, we usually do it for selfish reasons. Okay. And a lot of times it comes from this place of saying, well, I'm right and you're wrong because God says so. All right. And we see a lot of that in the Old Testament. Okay. Let me ask you this. We look at the Old Testament and we see a time when earthlings were instructed to sacrifice their best animal if they sinned. When I ask the angels, what is that about? You know, because that's a little bizarre. What is that about? They explained to me that the early earthlings did not have a conscience, a sense of right or wrong. So you could not appeal to the conscience and say it is wrong to steal or it is wrong to kill, because they were very much like animals, right? And if one animal kills another, do we view that as murder or is that just the animal kingdom? Okay, that's the animal kingdom. We don't charge tigers with murder when they kill, you know, another male tiger that infringes on their territory, because that's just the animal kingdom. So how do you teach a conscience, to have a conscience, right and wrong, to a group of beings who are very animalistic in their beliefs, which is what early earthlings were? Well, you teach them consequences, is how the angels explain this. You teach them consequences. Okay. And so even if they couldn't see right versus wrong, they could see, well, if I hit him or I kill him or I steal from him, I'm going to have to go sacrifice my best goat on the altar. You basically taught them right from wrong in a roundabout way of teaching them there are consequences when they break these rules. Even if they don't see a morality behind the rules, they see a consequence behind the rules. Okay. And so when we look at it that way, we do see that, again, we're looking at the human earthling's lens through God. Okay. You know, there was, I can't remember the study, maybe someone else can know, but there was a study years ago that talked about a group of, I believe there were primates. Maybe there were monkeys. I can't remember right now, but they were part of this experiment that wasn't a very nice experiment, but there were all these trees they could go to, but there was this one tree that if they got on that tree, it would electrocute them, you know? And so they learned that they could pull the bananas off any tree except this one tree. Over time, the scientists doing the study turned off the electrocution factor of that one tree. But anytime new monkeys that were introduced or baby monkeys would try to go, the other monkeys would pull them down. They would hit them, beat them with sticks, anything to keep them away from the tree that did the electrocution. So after generations, nobody went to that tree, but not because they were getting electrocuted, but because the group mentality kept them away from that tree. They didn't know why. The tree was no longer electrified. It was no longer zapping them. And it might have been something other than zapping them, but I think it was zapping them. Okay, but the group mentality kept them in line. All right? Earthlings are a lot the same way, the group mentality. Maybe there was a good reason why something came about originally, but maybe we've evolved past it now. But our group mentality keeps it in play even though we don't need it. Okay? Even though we don't need it. So, you know, and that comes into play a lot with religion. A lot with religion. And this is going to be really controversial, and I know it will, but this is what the angels have always taught me. God does not want your worship. Ego thing. Humans decided that God had an ego that needed to be worshipped to show subjectivity. God did not say that, okay? But God wants gratitude. God wants gratitude, not worship. We've messed that up somewhere along the way, but gratitude. All right, guys, on that note, we are going to call it a night. I'm really grateful you're here. I look forward to communing with you next week. I'm going to play a song as we go, and we're going to play Birds Don't Try, They Just Fly, because that's exactly it. You're here. You don't have to try. All you have to do is let your soul take over. The tango between the soul and the ego. Just make sure the soul is the one leading.
Just because it's always been.
Birds don't try, they just fly. Birds don't cry, they just fly. Birds don't try, they just fly. Fly away, away, away. Birds don't try, they just fly. Birds don't try, they just fly.